Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey folks, Zach Osman here, IU Insider Indianapolis Star. It is Thursday, November 30th, the last day of November, and apparently the first day of Kurt Cignetti's Indiana tenure. That, in the business, is what we call a segue. Cignetti comes to Indiana from James Madison, where he was 52-9 over the last five seasons, three in the FCS, and then the last two moving up to the FBS. The Dukes won the Sun Belt Conference, or at least a share of it, in both of their seasons at the bowl subdivision level. With me, as always, is Mike Nieselick from the Bloomington Herald-Times. I think, Mike, the first thing to say about this is Indiana hired somebody who has done a lot of winning. Not necessarily at the Power Four level, obviously. He hasn't been in the Power Four since he was an assistant coach at Alabama from 2007 to 2010. But Cignetti left Alabama to be the head coach at Indiana University, Pennsylvania, where his father, Frank, put together a Hall of Fame career. And starting there, in the last 13 seasons, he does not have a single losing campaign.
Well, let's start with, are you at Power Four? I mean, Pac-12 is still technically alive. I think you're kind of...
it's like Power Five, but one of the five is disappearing, like the people in Marty McFly's photo. So it's
kind of harsh, man.
We're just kind of skipping the end.
Kind of harsh. From the beginning, head coaching experience, Midwest ties were the two things I had heard. This checks both boxes, but also Scott Dolson wanted somebody with a vision for recruiting, with a plan, with a philosophy, like guiding overarching philosophy that would sort of, kind of guide those efforts. Because I think people behind the scenes thought Tom Allen had sort of lost his way on the recruiting trail a little bit the last couple of years in terms of, they bought a lot of transfers in, but what was a Tom Allen player, right? The last couple of years, they didn't really have that. And Kurt's experience in the Power Five is as a quarterbacks coach and a big time recruiting coordinator. Recruited Russell Wilson at NC State. I listed some of them in the five things to know about Kurt Cignetti at Alabama. Just a ridiculous list of talents. lots of guys.
Is Indiana Julio Jones' next career stop?
Yes. He'll
be healthy for three games.
But, he'll have a background in how, where to dedicate resources. And I know things have changed since then, but I think he'll have a plan where to dedicate resources, what positions are important, and things like that. And I think that's really important at a school like Indiana that's trying to keep pace with, teams below the Ohio State and Michigan steps and have a plan in place to beat those guys consistently for recruits.
It is interesting, kind of the blend. I think there are some people that maybe blanched a little bit at the fact that he hasn't been in the Power Five, Power Four, Power whatever for the last 13 years. I do suspect, I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, I'm guessing the Indiana-Pennsylvania stop was a little bit of family thing. As I said, his father, I think, won 182 games over 20 years there. So he's got deep family ties. His brother, who's also a college coach, he's an assistant. I think most recently he was at Pitt. His brother played in Indiana, Pennsylvania. Shout out Dustin DePerak, by the way. I know Dustin will listen to this at some point. He went to Norwin High School, just like Kurt Cignetti, and he covered James Madison once, where Kurt Cignetti obviously comes from, and now they both wind up in Indiana. So I'm sure Dustin's head is spinning. Anyway, I think Dolson from the beginning, and I think we both heard this from a lot of different places. You talked about wanting that vision. I think he wanted somebody who just had a really comprehensive level of experience running his own program. The three finalists, per my understanding, were Cignetti, Jason Candle at Toledo, and Paul Christ, who was at Pitt and Wisconsin and obviously was dismissed last year. That, if there ever was a formal order, that might have been it. That's probably where I'd sort of stake my guess. But I think it's fair to say by the time it got to sort of, final interviews and preparing an offer – Cignetti was Dolson's top choice. And I think, you know, I there's a lot of different interesting stops. I mean, 13 winning seasons in 13 years as a head coach is good, kind of no matter what your level is. I'm actually most interested maybe in his 2 years at Elon. That is a really difficult place to win at the FCS level. It plays in a really tough conference. I think it's a smaller school, if I'm not mistaken. It's a pretty academically robust school. And it's really not been a consistent winner. You know, it has to play, you know, schools like Furman, and when they were down there, Georgia Southern, James Madison, schools like that. And Appalachian State was in that conference for a long time. And I mean, he didn't just go to Elon and have some success. They had two top 25 finishes in 2 years. They made the FCS playoffs both years. And then in the second year, he beat James Madison on the road. So James Madison just kind of hired him away. He has this sort of, he should have this holistic experience of what to do, how to run a program, all that. But he's also been places where he had to kind of punch up. And I think that's, obviously there's a little bit of that too, moving James Madison up to the FBS. But I just think that's, I think that's very relevant to Indiana, obviously.
Yeah, and, you know, I think what, he has two less FBS wins than Indiana during the last 3 years, because they had one this year. They beat Virginia, and much less opportunities. But, yeah, you know, I just – you wanted somebody that had a vision, that, you know, like you said, knew how to win. You know, how quickly he could do that here, we'll see. I think, you know, and talks can kind of look forward. I think the quarterback question – if you kind of look at his followers or the people he's followed, it's all quarterbacks that are in the portal right now and recently. So, I mean, I think that's
and Donovan McCulley, who used to be a quarterback.
Yeah, but I think that's his. Maybe those are his first two orders of business, probably in that order: find a transfer portal quarterback and bring back Donovan McCulley. But you know, when you look at his quarterbacks at JMU, I think everyone won at least one offensive player of the year award for the conference. So, I mean, really impressive track record right now in terms of, you know, he's not coaching the quarterbacks, but he's obviously finding the coaches to sort of fit what he wants to do. And he has obviously an eye for talent.
I think the other, I mean, it's interesting, you know, you point out his recruiting. I think the other thing that's interesting is, as an assistant, until he got to Alabama, everywhere he went, he coached quarterbacks. So, I mean, obviously a head coach probably won't be a position coach. You know, you won't coach one specific position, especially because staffing pools have expanded in recent years. But I mean, he was a college quarterback first for his dad, and then for, I think it's Don Nalen at West Virginia. Both of those coaches wound up in the College Football Hall of Fame, if I'm not mistaken. And he coached the position a lot, which just sort of makes it feel like, again, if you want to, he's had different offensive coordinators. It'll be interesting to see who he brings with him, who he might target from his JMU staff, and where he might maybe go for a bit more kind of experience or whatever you want to say. But it does feel like somebody who, you mentioned what his quarterbacks achieved at Indiana, at James Madison in particular. It feels like somebody that's got a pretty firm idea of what to do with, you know, arguably the most important job on the field. And as you mentioned there, the one that, whether it's trying to retain an IU quarterback already in the portal, or it's trying to go out and find one from somewhere else, or maybe it's, you know, doubling down on someone like Taven Jackson, there's a pretty obvious sales pitch from Cignetti for that quarterback position in particular.
Yeah, and you know, as kind of things have kind of popped up, you know, Matt Rhule talking about how what's 1 to 2 million to land a quarterback, and you know, the efforts that Indiana, you reported on, kind of upping their game in terms of NIL and trying to have, you know, resources committed. It's now a position you can't really afford, literally, to miss if you're going to dedicate so much resources to try to bring somebody in. I think it's the you know, number one thing that'll determine their success this year, to be honest. You know, and so I think knowing that, you've put it in pretty good hands in terms of who's going to make that decision. And I don't think Indiana fans could, you know, that's got to feel good considering, you know, the last 3 to 4 years, other than Michael Penix, you know, it's been a revolving door. You know, Penix couldn't stay healthy, but after that, it was just sort of a disaster.
That NIL money too. I think we talked about it on our last podcast, but I mean, 3 million is, my understanding is 3 million is already there. And I mean, anecdotally, I've seen a lot of, oh, I just donated 50. I just donated 100. Obviously, those numbers are small, but they can add up. We've already seen Hoosiers Connect, Indiana's, the business arm of Indiana's Partner Collective, kind of unveil this fundraising campaign specifically around Kurt Cignetti's hiring. I would not be surprised to see Kurt Cignetti at some point in the next 48 hours wearing some NIL branded or collective branded gear. I just think that that's going to be a really big piece of this going forward.
Yeah, I absolutely. And, you know, they're going to have to put a staff together quickly. You know, the portal date now, he's got, what, 4 days before the portal window opens officially. So, I mean, it's going to have to all come together pretty quick in terms of trying to put that all together. There's reports out there that he is going to coach JMU in the bowl game, wherever they end up. I'm not sure what they're in line for, to be honest.
It'll be a really low-level bowl game because they only get – essentially what's left over because
it is what's left over. Yeah. Cause I don't, did they only get the Sunbelt ties?
They didn't get NCAA relief. They got was just to say, you know, you get whatever bowls can't be filled. So it's probably going to be something pretty low level.
Yeah. So, I mean, that'll add to his play.
Sorry to cut you off, which means it's probably going to be fairly early in the calendar, I guess.
Right, which is a good thing, you know, a good thing for Indiana that he could just put it behind him, but he also gets to do it and have that moment with his players. But it adds to it a little bit. You know, they'll have a lot to do here in the next 2 to 3 weeks. You know, Indiana won't have any practice time, obviously, because they didn't qualify for a bowl. So that, you know, we'll remove that part of it. But I mean, it's going to be all recruiting for him, you know, because even if they bring back, say, half the players that went into the portal, they still have to sign, you know, upwards of 30 to 35 names.
Let's leave it there for the moment. I'm sure we'll do another one of these, probably a slightly more comprehensive one pretty soon, but obviously there's a lot to do and a lot to talk about and a lot to run down. The last thing I would say is I'm not surprised Indiana agreed to let him coach in the bowl game. Indiana basically made the same request of Kalen DeBoer in the Gator Bowl in 2019. I think it's a department that doesn't have that sort of, that doesn't have concerns around that sort of thing. And I think it's also a department that wants to, or probably it's fair to say, recognizes that that sort of task is a lot easier than it's really ever been before. So again, we'll leave it there. We will be back with another one of these very soon, I promise. But for now, for Mike Nizlik, Bloomington Herald Times, Indianapolis Star, I'm Zach Osterman. HeraldTimesOnline.com, IndyStar.com/sports. Subscribe, read. You know what to do. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.